Hi everyone, I'm your host, Brittany Nicole, and this is The Female Millennial, a podcast where you get to have girl talk with me and some of your favorite boss babes. We're going to be talking about career, balance, and what it really takes to become successful in your industry. So grab your coffee and your notebook. Let's chat, shall we? Hey guys, welcome back to the Female Millennial Podcast. I am your host, Brittany Nicole, and for today's episode, we are recording with Listening Party inside of Canal Street Radio. So this episode is going to be so inspirational because I'm going to be talking to one of my favorite models in the industry, Afia Bennett. So Afia is a top supermodel. She is originally from Brooklyn, and she was discovered at a young age when she competed on Naomi Campbell's hit show, The Face, on Team Naomi. Bennett has since gone out and above and excelled in all initial expectations from the fashion industry. Okay, so Afia, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you. And I was just thinking about how we met earlier at the Essence Festival, like 3 years ago when I first moved here. You were gorgeous.
Thank you.
At the booth.
Thank you.
What were you doing there? I can't even remember.
Me either. I have no idea. I just remember. I remember meeting you. So when I saw you today, I was like, oh my God, we met like years ago. Okay, it's like, this is awesome.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I know a little bit about you just by meeting you then and then following you on social media, following your journey. But introduce yourself, tell our audience more about you and what you do.
Okay. Hey guys, my name is Afia Bennett. I'm a model, an entrepreneur, Fiji Water ambassador. I'm an actress, host, personality, and so much more. Yeah, so I originally am from Brooklyn, New York. And this journey, it's been a long journey. So much has changed since 3 years ago. I recently just got married.
I know. I saw. First of all, guys, she looks so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But yeah, so career has been amazing. And now just like, I think pouring into my personal life and my future just as much as I pour out into, you know, other aspects of my life as well.
So I guess
creating that balance.
Okay. And so for people who might not be familiar, because they think about model and they think about, oh, pretty photos, she probably takes photos all day. Explain to us your daily routine, because I'm sure there's so much more that goes into that.
Well, for me at this point in my career, it's more about the brand, you know. So being a model, it's just one aspect of who Afia is.
Exactly.
And so creating that brand is, I mean, obviously you have your agent and like they're booking you on campaigns. Like I've done campaigns for like Neutrogena, Tom Ford, Nine West, Nike. I mean, I've done so many.
So awesome.
But that's just like the girl in the picture.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times we don't get to know, okay, more about the girl in the picture. You know, what does she love? And so for me, I'm also an entrepreneur.
Right.
I have my own hat line, which has been booming. We styled for like Fantasia, featured in like Galore magazine, Black Enterprise covered us, Fashion Bomb Daily as well. We recently just got to work with Ashanti, which was really awesome. So yeah, the hat line has been doing great. I'm also venturing out into the beauty industry.
Okay.
That's my new baby right now. So, that's something that's still in the works, but, nothing beats a failure but a try.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, the daily life of Afia, if I'm not at a photo shoot or on a red carpet, a lot of times I'm working on my business. Because I think that modeling is just this part of my life, you know, but you have to prepare for 10 years from now and 20 years from now and start planting those seeds for the future.
Right.
You know, so a lot of times I'm either packing and shipping, working on marketing, working on the website, working on promo, working on new designs. And I guess, like I said, just pouring as much as I pour out into the modeling industry, pouring into myself as much and creating that balance.
Yeah. And that's so important for you to say, because a lot of people, they think that when you start this brand that it's everything's just happening, but you're really in the background doing everything, making sure things are executing and things like that. So let's take it a step back. Let's talk about your career journey and how you even got to where you are now. Like, I know that I read that, you know, you started when you were 18, or did you start a little bit before that?
So I started a little bit before that. I've been modeling. I feel like I've been scouted since I was like 15 years old. But obviously I was in school, and I think that I went full force when I was like 18. Okay. I graduated at 17, did my first year at university at FIT. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I went on the show The Face, mm-hmm. With Naomi Campbell. And, I got second place on that show. And then after that, I signed to an agency here in New York. And then I kind of just like the ball started going from there, you know. But I think that, like I said, I think being a model is just, it's just one aspect. It's just one side, you know. Right. And so they say, okay, well, what else do you want to do? What else sparks your interest, mm-hmm. you know? And so I started a blog. I have my own blog, mm-hmm. you know. Obviously, I have a contract with Fiji Water, you know. So I work hand in hand with them. I do a lot of charity, you mm-hmm. know. So, like, every year I bring a lot of girls to, like, the Breast Cancer Walk. I've done work with, like, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Mm-hmm. Deliver blankets to neonatal intensive care in Brooklyn with AKA. You know, so I think it's just about not only just being a model, but say, okay, Afia is this model, but who else is she?
Right.
You know, what does mm-hmm. that look like, and how do we build that up just as much as we, you know, put her as the face of this campaign?
Exactly. Okay. So I know that your career journey, I mean, you've definitely like been through hurdles of some sort, because like people just see you and they're like, okay, well, she's perfect. She has a perfect life. She does this and that.
Yeah.
But they don't see the sacrifices that you have to make in order, especially in your industry, in order to make it to where you want to. So kind of shed some light on that, just because girls really need that type of motivation.
For starters, I came from very 9-to-5 parents. Mm-hmm. So I've always had this big dream of like going away to like a HBCU. Mm-hmm. But right around the time that my career started to happen, I actually had to give up going to HBCU to do school online.
Right.
So that I could continue my career. So you make those type of sacrifices, as well as like you're traveling abroad and living in other countries for like long periods of time. It can be extremely lonely. And so you sacrifice, you know, being around your family and your friends and even your loved ones mm-hmm. for this career.
Right.
I think for me, one of the hardest parts about this industry is it's a very shallow industry. It's obviously completely based on like your looks and who you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it kind of wears on your self-esteem, because you're constantly in a room where you're waiting for somebody to say or pick you.
Right.
Essentially, mm-hmm. you know, which is very based on their idea of beauty.
Right.
You understand? Which is in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly. Opinionated.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. opinionated. Like what you might think is beautiful, I might, or what mm-hmm. you know, she might think is beautiful, he might not. You get what I'm saying? So I think it's very that's tricky, because you're being in the industry for a long time. Like some of the most beautiful people have the lowest self-esteem, because mm-hmm. they're constantly being told what's wrong with them.
Right.
Nobody sees that side of modeling. They never see being in a room and somebody saying, oh, your shoulders are too broad, or your breasts are too big, or your hip measurements are this, or, you know, oh, I'm sorry, like brown skinned girls are not trending this season. Mm-hmm. It's all about like Africans, and, you know, which is amazing. Right. We're all beautiful. Mm-hmm. Or it's all about like, you know, ethnically ambiguous, you mm-hmm. know, and girls with curls. And so I think it's very tricky, because like I said, you're in a room and you're expecting someone to say, hey, do you think I'm beautiful? And so now you kind of put that power mm-hmm.
in someone else's hands. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You understand? And so now you're doubting yourself. You're like, well, am I beautiful? Like, is there something wrong with me? Now you're asking yourself these questions and you're looking in the mirror, and imagine from the outside, everyone's telling you you're beautiful. Mm-hmm. But on the inside, you don't even feel like you're beautiful.
Right.
You know, because mm-hmm. you're in an industry where you're constantly being broken down.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that like, so I think that for me, like I said, it's important to like pour into myself and uplift myself and build myself up and have things that define my self-worth mm-hmm. outside of just modeling.
Yeah.
You know, because it's very trendy, you know, like girls with like a gap could be in, or girls with curly mm-hmm. hair could be in, girls with straight hair, girls with no hair.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think that you're like, I'm in an industry where, you know, sometimes people don't know what's in at the moment.
Right.
And sometimes it's constantly changing what's in, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hard to stay grounded, and it's hard to stay, it's hard to no, okay, like, no, I am beautiful.
Right.
You know, like, there's nothing wrong with me, mm-hmm. you know, it's just the wave of the industry, you know? And yeah. so, like I said, I think if I were to give someone advice, it would just be to A, create balance, and to have other things that define their self-worth right. and invest in those things mm-hmm. as much as they invest in being a model.
Yeah.
You know?
I couldn't agree with you more. For me, like, on the being on the content creator side, there mm-hmm. has been times where I've gotten campaigns and someone said, we don't have a need for your shade right now.
See?
So if someone says that to you, just keep pushing forward. I mean, someone is going to have a need for you and what you come with. Mm. So just keep pushing forward, guys. When you talked about self, like, pouring into yourself. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite, I guess, like, self-care acts? Because I do know that you travel a lot and mm-hmm. you have to take care of yourself. So mm-hmm. what do you like to do?
Well, I think that self-care is so much broader than just the physical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. self-care is the mental, the emotional, as well as the physical, right. as well as, like, you know, yes, you might go to the spa mm-hmm. and get a massage, but self-care might be doing something that might make you laugh,
mm-hmm.
you know, watching a silly movie. I love Friends.
Yeah.
I will forever love Friends.
Uh-huh.
So I love doing that. Or, you know, to be honest with you, I love Love and Hip Hop. You know, mm-hmm. that's my guilty pleasure.
Girl, me too.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I love just sitting there and just enjoying Love mm-hmm. and Hip Hop and thinking about something that has nothing to do with my job and nothing
right.
to do with my industry. And so, yeah, I guess, like, just finding things that make you laugh,
mm-hmm.
As well as obviously the spa and, like, hanging out with your girlfriends. And I think there's this complex that you constantly feel like you have to be on.
Yes.
You know, when you go out, imagine, like, you step outside your house and you could run into somebody and now they're seeing this model,
uh-huh.
you know, so, like, you're constantly on, or, like, you might even be around your family and they're asking, oh, when's your next campaign?
Right.
You know, and so you're constantly on, or you go to a work event, or you're going to your agency. And so there's this, like, you constantly have to be on. Mm-hmm. You constantly have to be working, and you kind of yeah. never get to just, like, let your hair down
just
and
be
just,
off.
And be off.
Right.
Yes. So I think that finding that off time to just, like, relax and not be a model for a second uh-huh. is very important. I think it's important when it comes to self-care. I think for me personally, like I said, Friends, Love and Hip Hop,
yeah.
hanging out with my girls, hanging out with my husband,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm very spiritual, so I love to go to church,
yeah.
you know, so, and I love seeing my family and playing cards with my family and just, you know.
Sometimes just doing something mindless
yeah.
just feels good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to think about it. You know that you already love it.
Mm-hmm.
So why not?
Mm-hmm.
But do you still have those moments, I guess, like, when your family is, they're asking you, like, when's the next campaign or whatever. And you, like, think to yourself, like, oh my God, am I, like, this still feels like a dream to me that mm-hmm. I'm even doing this.
Yeah. I think my family, they set the bar very high for
yeah.
me. I set the bar very high for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of pressure to fulfill. You know, it's a lot of pressure to have an answer. And sometimes
right.
you don't have that answer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't know when's that next campaign coming out, or you don't know when you're going to be booked on that next job, or,
right.
you know, you might get booked on your dream job tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so it's that pressure.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question about, you know, the reality of, like, wow, I don't think that it's fully set in. It's funny.
No?
I think I've been in this industry almost 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's fully set in that, like, you're living the dream.
But when does it even set in? Because
yeah.
I feel like you're always, as, like, an ambitious person that you are, you're always striving for the
more.
Next thing.
Yes. And so I think that it's funny. One of my friends posted on social media recently that you're constantly striving for this idea of making it that
right.
does not exist,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it was the realest mind bottling thing I've
yeah.
ever heard, because it's like, it's true. You're constantly feeling
mm-hmm.
like, I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to book that job that
right.
like somebody can stamp and say she's made it.
Exactly.
You know, but that doesn't exist. Even the people that have accomplished so much, they're striving for more
mm-hmm.
because they're ambitious.
Right.
And they still never feel like they've made it.
It doesn't
know?
Feel like that to you, but on the outside,
looking
in, people already think. that of you.
Yeah.
From 100%. Probably like even like your first ever thing that you've ever done.
Exactly. Right? Like from your first ever job, like, oh my God, I saw you on the Nike Kids website. And you're like, oh really? And then for them, like, you know, it's like you made it, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, I haven't even touched the surface as to my potential or the things that I want to do.
Right.
But I think one of the most fulfilling things about this industry is the ability to inspire, you know, because I think that one of the greatest things that you can do here on this earth is being able to influence the masses in a positive way.
Yeah.
And I think so many people, they have big platforms, but I think that I don't think that they're using them in a positive way. You know, I think they're either selling false messages, they're selling false lifestyles, or they're just not contributing in any way.
Yeah.
You know? And so for me, if the amount of people that write me on a daily and say, oh my God, like you inspire me to follow my dreams. You inspire me to take that leap. You inspire me to, like, you know, jump in full force and give it my all.
Right.
You know, I think that's worth it. I think that's what makes it worth it, because you're like, wow, like I don't, somebody in another country, India, somebody in another country, China, somebody in another country in Africa, somebody, you know what I mean? Somebody that you've never met, the fact that you can touch their lives to make a decision that's going to influence their lives for the rest forever.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
And I think it's so good that you are looking back to see like the types of people that you're reaching, right?
Because
sometimes when you go through the motions, you don't even realize that you're reaching the masses. You know what I mean? So I think that's good for you. And then what do you do when you are traveling a lot? Like sometimes when you have to be gone for a long time and instead of your family asking you, when are you booking that next campaign? They're asking you, when am I going to see you
again?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's so funny. Over the holiday, over Christmas, I think as time is going, I think I have a greater appreciation for my family.
Yeah.
Versus when you're younger, you're like, oh, it's my family. I have no choice but to be with them. But I think now that I'm older and I live on my own and I'm married and all of these things, I think, you know, you realize, well, like, wow, like I only get to see my extended family once a year, if that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I have a greater appreciation and put more effort into seeing them, because you're like, wow, like I'm not going to see you for an entire year. You know what I mean? And so I just think life is precious, and because I'm in such a shallow industry, it's made me appreciate the real things and real people in my life.
Yeah.
And understanding that my family's not going anywhere, and whether I decide, you know, to be a model or a vet, they're going to love me no less, you know? And I think that's refreshing.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about your venture, the Fia Collection. Tell me how that even started. Like, what sparked you to even get that moving?
It's so funny. I feel like every time I go to London, I have these like revelations about life. And I think it's just because every time I go to London, I'm there for at least a month, 2 months, 3 months.
Right.
And being away from everything, you kind of have a second to think and you have a second to put in perspective the things that are important to you.
Right.
And I think, but it is very lonely being in another country by yourself and not having anybody. And so you start to reevaluate everything. And you're like, oh my God, I'm in another country waiting for somebody to pick me for a job and think that I'm beautiful. There has to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
And I think that the first time I went to London, that happened to me. And I was like, I've been searching for this balance. I was like, I need to do something of my own where as much as I'm waiting for you to pick me for a job, I have just as much power in creating my own campaign,
exactly,
my own business.
Yeah.
And, I think it was just about taking some of that power back. So I went to London and the hats were initially inspired by British military caps.
Okay.
And so obviously that's not something you would see over here because we don't have British military. So I was like, wow, these are pretty awesome. And so I was like, wow, I was obsessed with the hats. And I said, wow, I think I'm going to really try this. And that just became the beginning. That became the beginning. And I think I liked what it stood for. I think it was about like women empowerment, you know. And, you know, when I look at the hats, they're very strong, firm hats, you know. And so I love what it stood for. And so, that was the beginning. I came home and the journey began. There was so much I didn't know at the time.
Right.
I just knew I wanted to start my own business. And I think that I have my degree in media and business. And I think that there's no greater yes, you can get your degree, but you have to put it to use.
Right.
So I learned about like getting a manufacturer, mm-hmm. a logo, website, marketing.
Yeah.
Getting the products, samples, mm-hmm. getting bad samples, then like doing the labels. Uh-huh. I did 3 different labels before I got labels that I like, you know.
Yeah.
And so there was just so much about starting a business. You have taxes. there was so much about starting a business that I had like no idea. I just knew I need to have something of my own.
Right.
You know, I needed to have something that belonged to me. Mm-hmm. That, you know, so So that's what started the Hatline.
Yeah.
And it's been doing really well. Mm-hmm. I think that for me, you even learn like, okay, like in the wintertime, black hats do well.
Right.
You know, and holidays, red hats do well.
Right.
In the summertime, white hats do well, yeah. You know? And so you learn a lot about like even trends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the greatest part.
I think that as business owners, you have to like learn the cadence of your audience, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have to learn when they might like what. And mm-hmm. so how long do you feel like it took you to even learn that? Was it like a full
year? Absolutely. Uh-huh. A full year. I also think that it took a lot to even figure out marketing wise.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to figure out, that's the thing. Of course you have like, I mean, if you're not, of course, you have like Instagram and you have Facebook, right. And you have the people that support you. You have mm-hmm. your core group, but then you want to reach those that you don't know.
Exactly.
You want to reach the masses. Yeah. That's essentially the goal. And then you're trying to figure out, like, I feel like obviously I'm a model, so I use models to promote. But mm-hmm. I think that as models, we're selling a lifestyle that people want to live. But it's like, oh, my God, that hat looks amazing on her. But the everyday person doesn't feel like they could rock it.
Right. Is it attainable?
Is it attainable? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then you realize, okay, like that marketing strategy didn't work.
Right.
You know, and so I think when you go more of like the everyday route, like the everyday person that styles the hat and looks mm-hmm. amazing and like, oh, she's an everyday person just like me.
Right.
It's more relatable.
Right.
And then that's when the sales kicked off,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then obviously, like when Fashion Bomb Daily promoted it and Fantasia, like, mm-hmm. oh, like she looks amazing. That could be me.
Right.
You know, and so when I think when the consumer sees themselves in the product, they see like, oh, that could be me. Mm-hmm. I could rock that. You know what I mean? Like
right.
that's when the sales started to come and you realize like, oh, this is what works. Like, yeah. Who's your customer? You know?
So now that you have this venture mm-hmm. plus every other thing that you do.
Oh, so much.
How are you even balancing or prioritizing your time? Like, what are some tips that you can share, or do you take it day by day? Because
well, I always write everything down.
Okay.
You know, in the notes on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I always write everything down, always, because I think that my mind races a million miles a second.
Yeah.
And I think it becomes a lot. You're mm-hmm. thinking about a million different things, a million different businesses. And so for me, I've just learned to write things down and check them off.
Yeah.
Check them off the list so that it could be a small thing, like if you go to the store and buy some pens. But
right.
then you're like in the house with no pens. And you're like, oh my God, I forgot those pens. And like, I can't write this. So it could be something small like that.
Yeah.
But I think really writing everything down and getting it out your head. And I think talking to like-minded people
yeah.
helps a lot too, especially when you're trying to be an entrepreneur. I think it definitely helps, you know.
Yeah.
For sure. So yeah, and then also like in the beginning, excuse me, of every year, I always write down my goals mm-hmm. in January. And they could be like big goals, they could be small goals.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I've been doing it at least for the last 5 years. And it's very important because you look back at a goal that you set 3 years ago mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, like I accomplished that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think it's like, wow, like you might not accomplish it this year.
Right.
You might even have forgot that you wrote it down as something that you
exactly.
wanted to accomplish. But then you'll look back and you'll see how God has been moving
uh-huh.
in your life, you know, and you can look back like, wow, like I really did that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I have I have a vision board. That I created at one of my guest friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
I probably made the vision board, I want to say at least 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm going to show you the vision board. And I looked at it probably last week, and I kid you not, the vision board says Tom Ford in it, and it almost made me cry because I was like, you could not tell me that.
I just got chills.
I did too. I did too. Oh, because God. I'm like, you could not tell me that the girl that made the vision board for her friend's birthday in her friend's living room on the floor would have done that campaign. Could not tell me, you know? So it was just, sometimes you don't even see how God has manifested in your life, or you forget. You forget the things that you prayed about. And it's just like, wow, you know, and sometimes you need these quiet, you need those reminders of like, you know, so I think setting a goal list every January, you know, writing everything down, and knocking it off the list. Cause I think a lot of times we get like so caught up in life. And so like life happens, you know? And so I think that the list kind of helps keep me grounded and brings me back, you know, to focus. You know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says not right now.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's important because you might say, hey, I want to do this podcast now, you know, and it might kick off in 6 months. And I think that, you know, when it's something that's supposed to happen, it will happen. Even if it doesn't happen in your time, it's going to happen.
Exactly.
You know? So for me, like, I always go back to the list every day, you know, and I think this is January right now. So right now I've been steadfast on this list. You know, I've been really focused on this list seeing as it's January. But yeah, I think I would definitely recommend writing everything down, looking at the list, staying focused on the list and just and staying focused. Block out the things that don't matter. Like,
I think it's so good that you said that because a lot of people, first of all, they don't look back at how far they've come. So make sure you're looking at the list that you've created. Even if it was 3 years ago, you need to check those things off the list that you've accomplished. And also remember that sometimes things just don't happen in your time, but that doesn't mean that you should give up. Like for me, I know that I wanted to move to New York for so long.
Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Chicago. And it didn't happen until 2 years after when I wanted to move, but that was the right timing for it. So you just never know. You just have to be ready when it is your time. And with those accomplishments, Tom Ford being a huge one.
Thank you.
What would you say, and this is going to be hard, biggest accomplishment to date?
Oh, my God.
Or let's do in the last year.
In the last year.
I know it's a hard one.
Yeah. I don't think I can kind of just pinpoint one thing.
So say a few.
One of my favorites was the Neutrogena campaign, though.
Okay. And what did you do?
I did their beauty campaign.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's in, like, every store, which I thought was pretty cool. That was actually probably one of my favorite campaigns. So I'll say that one. Definitely the Neutrogena campaign for sure. Yeah, I'll probably see that one because I love it. I love, like, it was fun. It was fresh. People always send it to me. It's more relatable. You know, I've used Neutrogena growing up. So I think I think that one. It's nothing like, I remember going in the store and showing it to my mom for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that moment is always surreal. I think, you know, when you can walk into a store with your mom and your mom sees you in a brand that you know, that's been around for like ages. I think that's one of those priceless moments. For sure. But yeah, so I don't think I can like pinpoint it, but I would definitely say probably the Neutrogena campaign. And then I did a campaign in South Africa for Woolworth last January, and it ended up on a billboard. And I did it with my husband, now husband, at the time we were engaged. But I think that it was kind of, it's really refreshing, because it's nice, you know, to like have a partner, you know, and you guys are doing like, you're in the same industry and same business, and you guys are kind of grinding it out together. And so, so for us to be on a billboard, I've been on billboards by myself, but to be on a billboard with him, it was like
another level.
It's like, it means a lot more, you know, and it's like, oh, this is my partner. So it was really nice.
So what about favorite place that you've traveled to?
Oh, man. My favorite place that I have traveled to. Let me think. I would probably say Greece. I actually wasn't there for work. I went for holiday.
Okay.
But I think that for me, I travel so much and a lot of things look the same aesthetically. Like a lot of things look the same aesthetically. Like I feel like the South looks like the South. Europe looks like Europe. I went to Cape Town. And so Cape Town wasn't, I don't think it was like the full culture of Africa, as maybe some of the other parts. But I think Greece, when I went, it looked aesthetically drastically different. Yeah. Like, it's like blue and white. Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. The infrastructure is different. Like, the people are different. Yeah. The culture is different. And I think that was what was really captivating to me, to be somewhere that I'm like, wow, I've never been any place that looks like this.
Mm-hmm. So now that you are back for a little while, I guess, are you traveling anytime soon?
I don't know. I'm supposed to go to London next week.
Oh, my God. Job.
I know. I'm the 15th. So I don't know. I feel like you never really know. Before the holiday, before Christmas, I was in Sweden for a campaign. So I do travel quite often for work. So, but I think you never know. They could literally, your agents hit you a week before the job and say, hey, you know, can you come here to do this campaign? So
yeah, once again, got to be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what advice would you have for girls who want to be where you are right now?
I would say have a vision.
Yeah.
Write it down, make it plain, because, I think that you have to have a vision. And I think the vision is very important. I think you should study your craft.
Yeah.
Definitely study your craft. If your craft is music, you know, find out those who came before you, what they did. For me, my craft obviously started out as modeling. So figuring out, like, you know, who the supermodels were, who the top photographers are, top designers, where they traveled, where they started. I also think it's very important, like, niche wise to figure out, like, where you fit.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very, like, I mean, now the industry has changed so much. It's opened up so much in terms of, like, plus size, curve, you know, like, you don't necessarily have to be this, like, double zero any longer to be a successful model, which is extremely refreshing. But I do think it's, like, important to figure out which niche you fit into. Are you a high fashion model? Are you more of a commercial model? You know, are you, like, in between? Are you, you know, like, I think it's important to figure out where you fit, and then who. I think that's why when they talk about representation, because I think trying to find, like, okay, well, there's nobody that looks like me in those areas, that's where it becomes an issue, you know? But I think that if there is somebody that looks like you, like, if you're plus size and you look at Ashley Graham, you know, I think it's like, okay, well, she did it, so can I. You know, these are the photographers she shot with. Let me reach out to them. Let me find out their rates. What are those images that she shot with that certain agents are looking for? You know, how would they market me towards certain clients? Which clients could I work for?
Exactly.
You know, and so which clients do I see myself working for? Which, you know what I mean? And even even if, like, certain campaigns don't have a girl that looks like you, you know, how can you open that door as well? So I think I would say study your craft.
Yeah.
For sure. And have a vision. And have a vision for sure. And I think that sometimes I think it's tricky because, I mean, it's like saying, like, okay, how many people want to go to the NBA, right? But I think that even if, you know, it's not about being the NBA star, maybe you can be the trainer. Maybe you can be the coach. Maybe you can be.
So many other avenues.
Yeah, so many other avenues that you can kind of cater to that person that wants, you know, that wants to be that NBA star without, you know, maybe, you know, you get what I'm saying?
That's such a good way to put it.
Yeah, it's like you don't necessarily have to, even if, like, you know, you want to be the supermodel, but maybe that's not. Maybe, you know, that's not what it ends up being for you. And you're like, oh, maybe I could be a designer. Maybe I could be a photographer. Maybe I could be a stylist. Maybe I could, you know what I
mean? There's,
like,
other ways to enter the world without being that one thing, you know?
And don't be closed-minded. That's a better way to phrase it. Don't be closed-minded. You know, be open to it all. Try new things, you know? Study a craft. Don't be closed-minded. Don't be one-dimensional. We spoke about that, like, not being one-dimensional. I think that, you know, we live in a world where people try to put us in a box. And I think it's very important to take you know, open that box, you know, take the bandages off, you know, and be so much more than one-dimensional, you know. And I think that's what creates substance.
Well, Afia, it's been so great having you. Is there anything else you want to add?
Follow me on social media, Afia Bennett, AFIYABENNETT. I encourage you guys all to follow your dreams. I encourage you guys to inspire. I encourage you guys to be great, man. You only live this thing called life one time. Make your presence known. Let's make it happen.
And you heard it here. So guys, thank you so much for listening. This episode was presented in partnership with Listening Party. Follow the crew on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market. And of course, follow us at The Female Millennial. We will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.